Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're doing an Elephant in the Room message series, just to clarify if anyone's confused. And so we're talking about subjects that nobody wants to talk about. And the problem is that this was actually Ryan Bastos' idea to do this message series. And when he said it, I was like, but I don't want to talk about them, right? And I made a whole list of all the subjects we could talk about. And I'm telling you, some of those subjects, I was like, I do not want to talk about that. God, unless you like open my mouth, I'm not talking about that, right? So we haven't gotten to some of those. And I don't know if we will yet, but we're talking about things that only God wants us to talk about. Amen? It's not all negative either, because sometimes that it sounds like a bunch of negative subjects. And I thought, who wants to talk about negative things? You just turn on the radio or turn on the news. We don't need that, right? So we're getting practical tools for freedom during this message series. But when I was in Africa about 15 years ago, I guess. And by the way, when I was in Africa 15 years ago, we met Pastor Brighton and Dorothy. So Pastor Brighton and Dorothy, do you want to stand up? And then I'll tell my elephant story that goes along with this. Welcome, welcome. So if you don't know them, they are our Malawian pastors. So they pastor our church and they oversee it really more in Malawi. And I encourage you to say hello to them. They are going to be here for 7 weeks. Everyone say seven. That's a long time. So I want to encourage you. I think it's okay with them. I'm just going to put it out there. If anyone would like to have them over for dinner or take them out for coffee, I think that's okay. So I'll leave that up to them and you. But they are incredible. They have seen so many miracles and have so much experience being the hands and feet of Jesus. And they're also just really fun to be with. So if you've got kids, if they want to hear stories or whatever it is, I invite you to take a risk. Go talk to them and maybe invite them over or take them out for coffee or something, because they'll be here for a few weeks. All right? All right. Bless you. So when we were in Africa, before we went to Malawi, we were in South Africa, and we went on a safari, and we were on this open-top Jeep driving out in the middle of the bush, and we came up on some elephants. Let me tell you, they were not cute like this elephant. They were, I don't know how tall they were, but they were very tall. And we're in this open-top Jeep, and they turned around, and they started to charge our Jeep. And we were facing them, and our Jeep driver, who obviously does this for a living, he completely became unprofessional, and he whipped that Jeep into reverse, and he slammed on the gas, and we were, you know, in the bush, so there are bushes and trees, and he was like, everybody duck, and I just remember going like this, because all the tree branches were like, they could have chopped your head off, as he's reversing wildly back through the trees. So this elephant might be cute, but how many know some of the things in our lives, when we don't deal with them, they can charge at us? Anybody have a charging elephant? Some situation, and I'm not talking about a person, because we don't fight people. We don't fight flesh and blood, right? We fight against other things, right, in the spirit. And so sometimes if we leave these things unattended, they can charge us just like that, and it is not a very fun experience. So today we're going to talk about the poverty mindset elephant. So everyone say poverty mindset. And this is the second part to last Sunday. And I got to tell you, I have a confession. I went back to take my notes I didn't make it to last Sunday, and I added more notes. So there's a chance we may even have a part three to this. We'll see. But how many know that a poverty mindset right now is a really big deal? And if it's not a big deal for you, I can confess it's a big deal for me. And I want to clarify a few things. We are not having a financial sermon today. That would be an elephant in the room, a finance talk, right? But that's not the elephant we're talking about. A poverty mindset is when you're in a place where you think you don't have enough. You aren't enough. God isn't enough. Our church isn't enough. Your marriage isn't enough. It's a place where you believe more in lack than in the abundance that Jesus died to give you. And again, I'm not talking about some financial wealth. I'm talking about being whole, being healed, having the fruit of the Spirit inside of you from Holy Spirit. Amen? And so I just want to clarify that. And the question of this whole series, within the series, so the whole poverty mindset subject, is will we let the lack around us define our response to God, or will we let our response to God define the lack around us? Okay? So that's the question, if you get one thing out of today. And I got to tell you, sometimes, like, poverty mindsets are sneaky. Have you ever just felt like you don't have enough time? Anybody feel like you don't have enough time? That's something that I have definitely dealt with even this week. And Brian and I sat down and I said, do you hear a low end? What is that? That's very odd. Do you know what that is, Thomas? Everything's muted. It's the air conditioning. Hey, praise God for the air conditioning. Okay, we're just going to keep going. Sorry. That was a squirrel moment. Don't normally have those. Okay, remind me, what was I saying? I'm so sorry. Time, thank you. Okay, there we go. So I was sitting with Brian and in the living room, and we're both just having a slight meltdown. Anyone had a meltdown over your schedules? Thank you. We believe in an honest church. And I turned to Brian and I said, well, you have either you're doing everything you're called to do, in which case you have enough time to do it, or you're doing something you're not called to do, right? Have you ever realized that? God won't give you something you don't have time for, but you might need to make time for it. Or you might need to reevaluate how you're spending your time. But it's really easy to slip into a poverty mindset when you think about your time. It's almost more socially acceptable to say, I don't have enough time. Anyone realize that? Like, it's actually more normal these days to say, I'm overwhelmed constantly. If you're not overwhelmed, maybe you're doing something wrong, almost. Have you ever felt that way? And so that's actually a bit of a poverty mindset. And so there are just sneaky ways that this mindset can sneak into us. So 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. Just say, I have the mind of Christ. That means that if we have a poverty mindset, we had to open a door to it because Jesus does not have a poverty mindset, right? He's the fulfillment of my cup runneth over in Psalm 23. And so we're going to get into this really practically here. I just wanted to review last Sunday, we talked about two doors that we can open up in our lives to get the poverty mindset in. And we're talking about Moses. So if you want to open your Bible, we're just going to land in Exodus 3 and 4 the entire time. And I don't normally preach that way, but something about Moses, I can't get rid of it. And there's an interesting book Pastor Tom had me borrow this week that actually compared America to Moses. And I don't know if anybody has ever heard that comparison, but some of our founding fathers actually wanted the face of Moses to be the face of our country because he represented freedom. Isn't that kind of cool? So just a fun fact about America. And so anyway, we're talking about Moses this morning though. So I'm just going to be reading a couple different phrases from these chapters, but just keep your Bible open. You'll find the phrases. And then I encourage you this week, if you're looking for a Bible study, why don't you get into these scriptures on your own or with a friend or with a family member, all right? So this is Moses, and he is meeting God at the burning bush. And Moses had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and he had been through so much, and he was out in the wilderness being a shepherd at that point. And I'm going to start reading I'm reading Exodus 3:7, but again, I'm going to kind of skip through. This is God. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Everyone just say, I am concerned. Sometimes God gets concerned. Do you think God's concerned about a few things right now? I'm concerned. Okay. So I have come to rescue them, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, last Sunday, we talked about how God said, I have come, and then he said, so now go. Right? I have come, so now go. And oftentimes when we pray, we are like, God, God, help, help, help. And he says, I have come. And then he says, so now go. I'm going to give you the tools to work on in your marriage. I'm going to give you the tools to work on in your parenting or in your workplace or with your friend or whatever. God says, I have come, so now go, right? And then a little bit further down, Moses responds by saying, who am I that I should go? And God responded, I will be with you and promise to bring you to worship on this mountain. And a little later, he says, but what if they don't believe me or listen to me? And then God demonstrated he would use miracles and signs to show proof. And then he says, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. And God responded, who gave human beings their mouths? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you and teach you what to say. And then at the very end, with the most beautiful phrase in the Bible as an excuse, Moses just said, please send somebody else, right? And if we're being honest, I think everybody has said that prayer at some point in your life. And if you haven't, I'm sorry, but you probably will. So this is just a heads up, all right? The good news is Moses still went and God was still with him, right? So we're going to get into this a little bit today. And I'm probably just going to hit a couple more doors. But the first door was the door of exposure. Again, we did this last Sunday. Our podcast is on the website. You just go to the website and you click latest messages. So if you want to hear the whole thing, go back and listen if you missed it. But the first door was the door of exposure, because this door opens us up to the poverty mindset. What we are exposed to affects how we think, right? Are you following? And again, this is just a recap, so I'm going pretty quick here. But Moses, he kind of sounds like this hero, right? By the end of his life, he's this hero. He led these people to freedom. He didn't make it quite all the way, but he almost got there, right? He was human. But if you actually look at the story of Moses, again, I'm just going to repeat a minute from last Sunday, but Moses was orphaned due to government regulations. Moses was adopted and raised in a non-Bible believing home. Moses felt so helpless he murdered someone. Moses couldn't communicate easily because he had a speech impediment. And he ended up living in the wilderness after all this for 40 years. That's just before he meets God at the burning bush. All right. Now, some of you might be saying, how does that apply to me? Right. But I kind of translated it. Some of us feel cut off from our inheritance due to the government. Right. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe 2008 hit you or whatever it is. Some of us feel immersed in a culture that doesn't line up with Jesus. Some of us feel helpless and get angry. Anyone ever felt a little helpless and gotten a little angry, just like Moses, right? Some of us are restricted by physical circumstances, and some of us have felt pretty isolated the last 2 years, kind of like a 40-year stint in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I definitely have felt that. And so that's the door of exposure. Moses was exposed to a lot of things, some of which he chose, right? He got angry and killed somebody, but he was also put in a basket and rescued, but he was almost, it was kind of like he was orphaned almost. And so whether you were exposed to something intentionally or something happened to you, it does not define you. Amen? And Moses had a choice. Will he feel like an orphan and feel like he's not enough, or will he let God become enough for him? And that's a choice that each one of us has. The second door we looked at last week was a door of identity, because Moses said, who am I that I should go? And that's the question of, you know, do you feel able or not able? Do you feel wanted or unwanted? Do you feel like you're a failure, or do you feel capable when you think about yourself? And this is not some self-help motivational speech. This is a get into Jesus and let him define your identity moment. Amen? But if we don't let God define us, we'll revert to what we have been exposed to. And Moses had that choice, and he didn't choose it. Amen? So today's door, the number one door we're going to do is misunderstanding who God is. Everyone say misunderstanding who God is. I know somebody, I don't remember who this was, it was a while ago, but somebody was doing some street evangelism, and I think it might have been on the Commons. It was somebody from our church. It might have been Pastor Tom. I don't remember. Anyway, and he was like, someone said, do you know who God, like, do you know God, to somebody on the Commons. And the person said, like, yeah, I hate God. Like, I don't like that God. And instead of the person who was witnessing, like, being like, how dare you hate God? He was like, well, why don't you describe who God is? And they started describing God in their own mind, and it wasn't the God of the Bible. And the person witnessing said, well, that doesn't sound like the God I know at all either. Like, I wouldn't like that God either. And suddenly they realized, wait a minute, I misunderstood who God is, right? And so Exodus 3, who am I that I should go? He asked, and God responded, I will be with you. I will be with you is only as comforting as who I am is. Did you follow that? I wrote that down in my notes, and I was like, does that make sense? I think that's grammatically correct. Let me say it again. I am with you is only as comforting as who I is. All right? This is important. You can turn on the worship station on FLN and hear some phenomenal songs to like build you up. But if you don't know who God is, that's not going to be very comforting, right? And so this is really important. We're going to back up to before the scriptures I read earlier, Exodus 3, 4 through 6. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look at the bush, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses," and Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father." Everyone say father. "The God of Abraham," say Abraham. "The God of Isaac," say Isaac. "And the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I wanted to take a closer look at this because sometimes you just tune out genealogies. Anyone ever gotten to the genealogies in the Bible and you're just like, I don't know how to say it. I don't know who these people are. But if you actually start digging into the scripture, it can be quite profound. And so Exodus 1, 22, Pharaoh ordered all the male babies to be killed from that generation. Do you remember this if you know the scripture? And a man named Amram, and I was trying to figure out how to pronounce it in Hebrew. I didn't look up the Hebrew written in Hebrew, so I'm not entirely sure. But it's either Amram or Amram, but probably Amram, knowing Hebrew. Amram gave up his son so that he could have life. So Amram was Moses' father. God said, "I am the God of your father." So God said, "I am the God of the one who gave up his son so he could have life." All right, so just keep following with me. It'll make sense in a minute. Abraham, he said, "I am the God of Abraham." Abraham was known for being a father and faithful, right? He's known as being a man of faith. And then Isaac. Isaac is known for being a fulfillment of a promise. And if you don't know who these Bible characters are, just go look them up afterwards and you'll see their life story. And then Jacob. Now, isn't this cool? He says, "I am the God of Jacob." Why is this cool? It's cool because he didn't say, "I'm the God of Israel." So God renamed Jacob to Israel. He gave him a new name, a new identity, but he didn't say he was the God of Israel. In other words, God isn't just God when we get saved. He's also God before we get saved on our journey to salvation. You following me? And Jacob was a pretty tricky guy, right? He was known for being deceitful. He actually fought with God. It's actually written that he wrestled with God. And he stole, and he was tricked and robbed himself. So he had a pretty crazy life up until before he was renamed Israel. And so I was trying to figure out, why would God say, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob"? And what I realized was God wanted Moses to realize he was the God of all these different people and what they represented. So he's the God of a season of sacrifice. He's the God of faithfulness. He's the God of fulfilled promises. But he's also the God when you're really messed up and you're wrestling with him. In other words, who God is doesn't change depending on our season or our circumstances. Amen? And if we only think God is the God of the faithfulness, or the fulfilled promises, how many have ever walked in a fulfilled promise and you're like, this is who God is? And then how many have ever felt like a promise was robbed of you? Kind of like Jacob. And if we only think God is God on the mountaintop, then we'll think God isn't enough in the valley. You following? And so God was saying, I am enough when there's faithfulness being shown. I am enough when there are promises being fulfilled, but I am also enough for you, Moses, when there's deceit, when there's trickery, when you're actually wrestling with me. I am enough, and you are enough. You don't have to walk in a poverty mindset. Understand who I am is. Amen? So that's a really important moment here because if we only worship God when we feel his faithfulness, then we actually aren't seeing God for all of who he is. And that's why some of the worship songs we sing are so important and as anthems to call our hearts to attention to worship God no matter what's going on, just like Jacob was called to be Israel. Amen? So that's the first door we're talking about, misunderstanding who God is. And then the second door we're going to talk about is physical limitations. So everyone say physical limitations. So Moses said, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. All right. So how many know that's a pretty good physical limitation? And realize that? I don't know the name of this individual. I'm not very good with names. But there is a man who's a Christian. He's a born-again Christian, and he has no arms and he has no legs. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Does anyone remember his name? Yes. Yes, Nick. There we go. I'm just going to go with this first name. His name is Nick. And I watched a little clip of him this past week. And he was talking about when he was a little child and he was actually suicidal. But God came to him and gave him a vision of his parents crying over his grave to show him not to go through with it. And that really touched my heart. But he has no arms and he has no legs. And now he travels the whole world speaking and motivating youth and adults for Jesus. How many know that's a physical limitation? That's a major limitation. But how many have ever said, you know, I don't have that gifting, or you know, I've never held a microphone, or I've never spoken to a stranger, right? Sometimes physical limitations can be mental too. And so I wanted to just read a couple limitations from a couple heroes in the Bible. Jeremiah had the physical limitation of being too young. And you remember Jeremiah? But he turned into one of the greatest prophets. Gideon described himself as being weak. And of course, he saved God's people, right? Peter and John, I like this one. They had a physical limitation of no coins. Who's ever been there? Who's gone to Aldi's? Yep, Brian's in my Sunday afternoon. If you ever want to say hi to us after church, just go to Aldi's because we'll be there. And you're always digging for a coin, right? So that's a physical limitation. But guess what happened instead? They healed the beggar. So sometimes we're actually defining ourselves by a physical limitation. And God says, let's just bypass the whole physical and let's just go straight for the heart, right? And then, of course, Jesus, I love this because his first encounter of earth was through a physical limitation. They had no space at the inn. That's a definition of a physical limitation. And get this, it wasn't just they had no space, but the government made it so they had no space. So whether you like our government right now, or you liked it a while ago, or you just gave up on it, which some of us have, whatever your beliefs are, Jesus just kind of bypassed all that and was born in a manger. So every physical limitation when given to God is a birthplace for a Jesus miracle. Amen? And sometimes we're looking for a physical answer when God has a supernatural one. So in Exodus 4, he responds, "Who gave human beings their mouth? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and teach you." Everyone say, help and teach. Now, this is important because a lot of times we'll hear it preached, nothing is impossible with God. Ignore the physical limitation. Just go for it. Anyone ever heard a preacher kind of say that? And I'm not condemning anyone, but you know, you just kind of get hyped up. It's all about just go for it. The problem is God didn't just say, just go for it, did he? He said, I will help and teach. I will help and teach. If we just go for it, thinking we got a green light from God, and we're like, we're just going to go for it, God's like, wait a second. I said, I will help and teach you. Some of us today need to walk in greater faith, but we first need to be helped and taught by the Holy Spirit daily. Amen? A Christian without listening to God is a very dangerous person. But a Christian who's listening to God is an even more dangerous person in the right way. Amen? And that's what we want to be. And so God promises to teach us and help us. And I want to get real practical here. And I'm just going to use finances as an example, but please don't get uncomfortable or weird about it. But we're talking about elephants. So are you ready? Here we go. So I'm just going to say a couple things on this. But for example, in finance, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I have looked at it in the last couple weeks researching. But the word money is mentioned in the Bible a ton, if you're looking for it. And there's a lot of wisdom in the Bible about it, in Proverbs and in different books in the Bible, about how to not be in debt and how to live a generous life and how to tithe and be blessed by God, not just monetarily, because we're not, you know, you don't give to get and all of that. I'm not going into a weird prosperity thing in that sense. But there is a way that God likes to help us and teach us. And some of us are standing here or sitting here today, and we need to get helped and taught by God in this area. Some of us, it might be the area of health. I know that's an area God has helped and taught me, right? How many have a physical limitation in your body, right? That's a big deal. And how many know if you just plow through that physical limitation, you might end up in a really bad, unhealthy place, amen? And God wants to help us and teach us. And sometimes that means changing what we're eating or exercising differently or stopping exercising or starting or whatever it is for whatever issue you have. And God wants to help us and teach us when we have a physical limitation. Are you following? So we walk by faith, but God also helps and teaches us. And I think sometimes when we're filled with the Spirit and in a more charismatic church, we just like to walk by faith. But we also have to walk with an ear to the Father's heart and to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? I did not get through all my notes again, but that's okay. I'm going to do my last door standing up. So stretch your legs. We're going to stand for just like 2 minutes here. I didn't want to stand alone anymore. If you're not able to stand, that's okay. I understand. But at the end, Moses said, please send somebody else. Everyone just say, send somebody else. I'm looking at my marriage. Just say, please send somebody else. I'm looking at my kids and I say, please send somebody else. Looking at my bank account and I say, I'm looking at my health report and say, all right, I just needed to do a group confessional right there. Somebody resonated with one of those, right? If you don't live by the praise of men, you won't die by their criticism. That's a quote from Bill Johnson. Comparison is the last door that Moses got stuck on. Please send somebody else. And who has looked at the issues in your life and just said, please send someone else? I tell you what, as a pastor, it is so easy to say that. And it is so easy to justify why we don't have this ministry or that thing happening because we just say, please send somebody else, right? You're too young. You're too old. You're a man. You're a woman. You don't have this or you have that. Somebody else, right? It's so easy to disqualify yourself because you see somebody else and you start comparing your life, your family, your season of life, your schedule about where you thought you'd be right now. And we just say, God, it's better if you just send somebody else. But that is not what God did, is it? God did not send somebody else. And everyone just say, thank God, right? And I just want to close on this thought. A few weeks ago, I shared that I'd had a dream and I preached on the other part of the dream. But the other part of the dream that I had, I think it was a slight pizza dream. So if you're prophetic in the room, don't go like crazy on me here. But the sky split open. Has anyone had a dream like that? No? I'm the only one that's got a sky splitter anointing. Okay, well, it's a weird dream to get, but I'm sleeping and I look up at the sky and the sky cracks open and breaks apart. And Jesus was starting to come back. And I looked up to the sky and how many know it's supposed to be a good day when Jesus comes back, right? But I turned to Brian and said, I wanted to do more. I wanted to do more. I wanted to do more. And I was distraught. I was like, no, I wanted to do more. Wait, it can't happen yet. I wanted to do more. Have you ever felt like you wanted to do more? And sometimes we say, please send someone else because we think that the problems around us are bigger than the answers that Jesus died to give us inside of us. And we think that the more happening in the world is more than the more happening in the church and what God is doing in our lives. Are you following me? So there's a lie. I'm just going to read it because I don't want to get tongue-tied. The more of the enemy in the world is greater than the more of God, is greater than the more of his revival, of his awakening spreading in America. And what we expose ourselves to will back us up on our theory of whether the more of the enemy is greater than the more of God or the more of God is greater than the more that's happening around us. You following me? And so I want to just end on this note because Moses had to believe that there was more of God than more in the Pharaoh. And there was more in God and more in the promised land than more in slavery. And some of us today are actually idolizing the more that's not from God in our lives. whether it's in your relationships, in your finances, your health, your marriage, your kids, whatever season of life you're in, the more of what's negative is bigger than the more of God. And I want to end today by coming to the altar and exchanging those mores. Is that okay with you? I had one last thing I just wanted to read here that I'd written. When you allow the more of the world to invade the church, we turn the church into a zoo of elephants and take up room that was meant for the more of God. But you can also say that about your family, about your home. When we let the more of the world invade our homes, we turn our homes into a zoo of elephants, issues no one wants to talk about that take up room that was meant for the more of God in your life. So the whole point of the story of Moses, and again, get into it on your own time this week, because that scripture is just so rich. But God wants to remind us he is the God of seasons of sacrifice. He is enough. He is the God when we are struggling, just say he is enough. He is the God when we're walking and we can actually see his faithfulness. He is enough. He's the God when we have been robbed of something. He is the God when we're walking in the fulfilled promises. And there's an invitation this morning to walk in the more of God and to stop looking at your life and saying, please send somebody else. So Jesus, this morning, we just come to you and, you know, we repent. Repentance means to turn around. So God, we turn around from looking backwards, and we turn to look at you, Jesus, and we repent for believing that there is more in the world than there is more in you. Even in our church, in our region, there is more God in our region than more of the enemy. How do I know that? Because Christ in us is the hope of glory, and there are a lot of believers in our region. So that's a lot of Jesus inside people breaking out. Amen? Some of us need to break him out a little bit more, but he's here. So Jesus, we just confess forever believing the lie that we are not enough, that you are not enough, that your answers are not enough. Sometimes there's mystery. Sometimes we don't understand why we have to walk through something, but you are enough. Can we just say you are enough one more time? You are enough, God. And we just say as a church that the poverty mindset is not allowed at Thrive, because you can't thrive. You can't grow and mature in God if you think he's not enough and you think you're not enough for him to die on that cross. We don't want to disqualify the cross in this place, Jesus. You are enough. And God, for anyone who is facing a physical limitation today, I thank you for either healing right now or showing yourself as enough as they walk through that moment. But we choose to trust you, God, and say you are enough no matter what. You are the God of our father. You are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Isaac. And you're not only the God of Israel, but you are the God of Jacob. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing so long. I encourage you, get into Exodus. Read Moses this week with somebody. There are people in this church that would take a phone call just to talk about Moses, all right? So get into it, or if you want, just do it on your own. And next Sunday, we'll keep diving into some elephants here. And in 2 weeks, I believe as of right now, in 2 weeks, Pastor Brighton will be bringing the word. And you do not want to miss that. So just keep that in mind, all right? We've got some incredible things planned for the next few Sundays. Be a witness this week, and don't forget your children. All right. God bless you. And coffee with the pastor, just as a little heads up here, if you are volunteering or part of a group and you have not been to a coffee with the pastor, this is your shining moment. We're going to meet in the Dream Team room, okay? Go into the Dream Team room because the creative department will be in here. So go to the Dream Team room in just like 5 minutes. Don't worry, it's like a 30-minute time just to connect, nothing formal. Or if you're looking to find out more about our church, all right?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.